So I want to start this message. I actually want to invite you into my prayer life. There's been something that God has been speaking to me in my prayer life for about 6 months that I didn't feel that I was able or allowed to release it yet, but now I do. The Lord gave me the go-ahead. I have to have my prayer times. Yes, and I hope you know the same things. If you're not praying, if you don't have those quiet times with the Lord, then all you are is you, with all your weaknesses and without any of God's strength. So I have these times with the Lord, and I know that the more intimate, the more I spend my time with him, the more I hear him, the more he speaks to me, the more he leads me, the more I can navigate the courses that are set up for me, my family, and this church. And as I, for probably the last 6 months, God has kept doing the same thing. He's kept putting the same prayer on my heart. He's kept putting the same feelings inside of me. And that is that I really believe that God wants to do more for us, that he has something that he has ready, something that's going to be coming down, something that's going to be released over this church. And let me kind of tell you a little bit about what I mean. Sometimes when I pray, many times actually when I pray, I feel like there's this something spiritual. It's just below the soil. It's just below the dirt, and I feel like it's crackling and it's pulsating and it's ready to come out, this move of God, but it's being held back. How many of you guys wanted to just break free, right? I feel the same thing as especially in this room when I walk all of these aisles as I pray. I feel this like spiritual sense that right above the risers, the walls right above the risers, I see it in my spirit. There's this like churning water that is just being held back right above the risers, that it hasn't got its release yet. You know, water being the power and presence of God, it hasn't got its release yet. But I believe that God has something more coming for our church. We just have to keep seeking him out for his release. Do you guys want a move of God's presence over you? Well, I believe that God does have more, and I think it's specific for this year. Someone actually came up to me last service, and they said, it's amazing that you're talking that God has more, because I've had this word, he's a prophetic guy, and he said that I believe that God has more for 2024, that was the word that he got way before this. So I believe that God is going to do something. The question is what and how can we be a part of it? So I was in DFW. We were there for a pastor's conference just 3 weeks ago. And as I was meditating on God, what is it? What can we do? What part can we play to break through and get this release? Because honestly, more than anything I want is a move of God. Move of God will change so many things, put so many things in perspective, wouldn't it? It would change so much. And I'm praying, I'm asking God, what is it? What can we do? And I go to my devotions that day, Acts 3, and God just kind of shows me so much. I share it with my staff, and they wanted me to share it with you. So you guys ready to get into Acts 3? We're going to stay in Acts 3. We're going to read the first 10 verses in Acts 3. So it's going to be a long, I want to read the whole parable. Not a parable. It's the whole story. The whole story. And then we're going to go back and we're going to dissect it. So in a second, if you have your Bibles, make sure you're open to Acts 3. If you have your app, it's right there. All of my notes are right there on the app. So we are going to go ahead and jump in. But let me tell you a little bit of where Acts 3 lands. 40-something days earlier, somewhere in those 40 days, Jesus was just crucified. He just died on the cross. He rose 3 days later. The Bible says that he appeared before people for 40 days. We know this. And then he ascends up to heaven, which is Acts 1. He ascends to the Father. He ascends to sit at the right hand of the Father. Then Acts 2, he sends the Spirit. It's the day of Pentecost. And then here we are, Acts 3. This is the first recorded miracle that God used the apostles, one of the apostles for. So Acts 3, verses 1 through 10, we're going to go ahead and read them right now. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour," that's 3 p.m., the hour of prayer, "and a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.' And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Yeah, right? And seizing him by the hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow, what a story, right? What a story. I want to take 3 points out of this message that I mean, out of this story that I believe are pertinent to us for the more that God has for this church, and I pray for this entire county. You guys ready to jump to the first one? All right. The first one is this. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. This is not my normal microphone, so you're going to see me moving it around a lot. Mark and Dave have the weirdest size ears, and I just can't get it to sit. Mine broke last night, and I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, so, okay, the first point that I want to bring out of this story, the first thing that I think that we need to understand for whatever it is that God is bringing is that the beggar asked for too little. What did the beggar ask for? Coins. He asked for silver and gold. He asked for something that he knew he needed. He asked for something that he had faith that he would get. See, he needed more than just the coins, but he asked for what he had enough faith for. No doubt he prayed and asked God, hey, God, help me today as I sit at this gate. Let the right people walk to the temple through this gate. Fill up my cup so that I can have food to eat. And is that a good prayer? Is that a bad prayer? No, it's not a bad prayer. But it was too little of a prayer because God had way more in store for this beggar than just to give him some coins. And that's the truth of us today. A lot of times, if we were real with ourselves, we get stuck asking for too little. God has more that he wants to do, but our faith only allows us to ask for too little. We sit there and we ask God to fix small problems when God wants to fix big problems in our life and hosts of problems. We ask God to move in little ways when God wants to move in great, big, glorious ways. We ask God for milk, but God wants to give us meat. We ask God to change character flaws inside of our life, but God wants to restore our entire beings. You guys know what I'm saying. We worry about things, the inconveniences in life, but God wants us to ask him how he can move through those inconveniences in our life. We have enough faith that God is a good God, but often we don't have enough faith that God is so good that he can restore our marriages. The biggest thing that this beggar was up against is the same thing that lots of us find ourselves up against, the littleness of our own faith. You see, the size of our faith dictates the size of our prayers. I want you to hear that and think about this. The size of your faith dictates the size of your prayers. This beggar had enough faith that people would give him some money for food, so that was the extent of his prayers. I believe often we ask for things that are way below what God wants to give us, that God wants to do with us, that God wants to do through us, because we only ask what we have enough faith for. And I want to tell you, it's time. I think there's something more out there, and it is time that we start praying God-sized prayers and expect God-sized results. Amen? I just know there's something moving, and it's time we start expecting God-sized things. I was challenged with this just weeks ago. I was walking through the sanctuary, and I was praying like I do, and I was coming through one of these aisles, and I stopped in this middle aisle right there, and I put my hand out towards this parking lot over there, Neil and this parking lot, right? How many of you guys had a hard time parking today, though? You know what I mean? I want to make sure that we get this thing. So I just prayed, and I was like, Lord, Father, I just pray that you would give us this parking lot. We need these 2 acres. Let the airport authorities lease it to us. I don't want anybody to miss out on church because they drove around the parking lot and left because they couldn't find parking. Like, that's not what I'm willing for people to not go to church for. Like, give us 2 acres, let us lease it. And then I just felt the power of God come down to me and his spirit just totally mock me. And let me tell you what he did. I said, Lord, 2 acres for lease. And the Lord says, okay, I got it. That's all you're asking for. 2 acres, 2 lease. And I was like, I didn't like your tone, God. I don't know what you're saying right now, but I did not like the tone that you just had with me. Like, what's on the table? And he says, well, apparently, 2 acres, 2 lease, you great man of faith. And I'm not saying this. I'm not saying that God's going to give us all of that land for free. I mean, in Jesus' name, amen, right? But what I am saying is that he was challenging all of my prayers and all of my faith. He was challenging the smallness of what I believed him for. Why was I praying for 2 acres? Because I believed that he could give us 2 acres. You know, what in life are our prayers too small? What in our life is our faith hindering us from asking for the more that God wants to do with us? God was challenging me and the smallness of my prayers, and I want to challenge you right now. What do you believe God for? Think about this. You personally, you're like, I believe God for everything. Baloney. What do you really believe God for? Because I'll tell you this. You want to answer that question, look at the size of your prayers. It will show you the size of your faith. Think about that. If you look at the size of your prayers, it will tell you what you believe God for. I want to challenge us today. What do we believe that God can do? What is the more that God has in store for us? This beggar believed that God would fill his cup so that he could fill his stomach, but God had way more in store for him. So I am going to pray for more. I'm going to pray that whatever is holding back those waters that I see, I believe that God does want to come down on us. I believe that God does want to wash us through with his power of his spirit. So I am going to pray that those, whatever it is that is holding it back, would break and that water would be released over us. And whatever is holding back, whatever I feel is going on within the soil, like it's like the earth is ready. I'm going to pray that God breaks it through. What more can you start praying for in your life? I'm praying for a big move of God. If you are like me and you look around and you see the problems in America, I mean, I see problems in America. I mean, there is confusion, there is chaos, there is breakdown, there is evil. There is evil that is parading around as righteousness. There is righteous things that are being called evil. I mean, our world is so upside down and backwards. And if you see it and you notice it, that means that you're aware. It means that you're awake. But if that puts more fear in you than prayer in you, then you know that your faith is too small. I was talking to someone yesterday. They want to have this. They're talking about having a baby, but they said, we don't want to bring a baby into this world. And I said, oh, that's because you're confused. This world is still under God's power, still under God's sovereign rule. If those things, yeah, praise God, right? Praise God. If, I'm sorry, you guys, this is just like grabbing my neck. If all of those things put more fear in you than prayers inside of you, then you need to check your faith levels. We need to ask, we need to regularly be asking God for more because God wants to do more. You know, that saying I hear my dad say it all the time was, without us, God will, without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not. You know, God is looking for people who are praying to be more, do more, have more of his power inside of them so that he can use those people when the time it comes that we need that we're praying for right now. Okay, part of the reason, now let me answer part of this prayer. Part of the reason of why we ask for too little, it's one, because our faith is too little. Wait, did I not read that scripture? Matthew 21, 25. I want to read you this scripture. It says this, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive. If you have what? Faith. We only pray for what we have faith for. So maybe the thing that we need to do is start having more faith. Amen? Okay. Part of the reason why we ask God for too little is because we do not understand fully who it is we ask of, which is our next point. The next point I want to make, it's in verses 3-5. We need to understand who it is we look to. We need to understand who it is that stands before us. Read right here. It says, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms, the lame man. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. And he began to give him his attention. See, standing before him wasn't just two normal temple goers. Standing before him was James and John. They had just been filled with the power of God. They had the Holy Spirit in them and working through them. They were representatives of Jesus Christ standing before the beggar. What the beggar saw was two men that would give him alms, but what was really before him was the power of Jesus to heal that man. He didn't see it. He wasn't aware of it. And I think that many Christians, we get stuck. We have this skewed understanding of who God is. We hear that God is the good father, but we forget to understand that God is not just the good father, he's my good father. Say my good father. And he's a good, good, good father. And we find ourselves not asking for more because we don't want to bother him. Because we don't want to get in his way. God's doing stuff with other people. We find ourselves not asking for more because we don't understand who he is. I want to show a video right now. It's the cutest video ever. It's of this little kid getting more from his dad. Let's show.
Dad, can I have some ice cream?
No, buddy. It's almost time for bed.
Don't let this happen to you. I'm gonna teach you how to get what you want from your parents. Let's do that again. Dad, I really missed you today. Can we share a bowl of ice cream and talk about our day?
Sure, buddy.
Yes! You gotta figure out what's important to your parents. For Dad, it's quality time. And for Mom, it's something else. Mom, can I play my video game?
Have you already played your video game today?
Let's do that again. Mama, can I do that for you so you can take a nap?
That is so sweet of you. Yes, thank you, honey.
Thank you, I love you.
And when I'm done, I'll gladly play my video game. Just because it works for me doesn't mean it's gonna work for you. You gotta figure it out yourself. Got it?
Got it.
Go get it.
Hey, Dad, we're playing with fire.
What?
Ugh, beginners.
That kid's going to be a politician when he grows up. Isn't that cute? Listen, part of the reason of why this kid had to get like manipulative and tricky with his parents is because he knew that his parents didn't want to give him the very things that he wanted. He knew at that moment that the dad didn't want to give him ice cream. You know, a lot of us think that that is how God is. That God doesn't want to give us ice cream. He only wants to give us broccoli. You guys know what I mean? He only wants to give us the things that are good for us, not the things that we desire. But that just isn't the case. You don't have to get tricky and manipulative with God. You have to understand God. One of the things that about God is that God is my good, good father. And we have to understand that God is the father that loves to give good gifts to his children. It's just not true that God only wants to give us broccoli. Sometimes God wants to give us ice cream. Let me tell you a story about Mark DuPont. Mark DuPont told this story, I mean, it had to be a decade ago. And he told this story, and it affected my wife and me so much. And he talked about this time He calls it ice cream. He writes about it in his book, Breakthrough in Times of Breakdown, page 70, if you want to get the whole story. I'm just going to give you the quick one. He talks about this time where he was out and he was doing the ministry, and this prophetic person, as he gets done ministering, comes up to him and says this, says, Mark, God really loves you. He really wants good things for you. And if you ask him for anything, he wants to give it to you so that you will know how much he loves you. I mean, he basically says, ask anything. God says to Mark, I mean, when this guy said it, Mark felt it inside of him. He knew this was from God. Ask anything of me and I will give it to you. What do you want, Mark? Anything. You pick it. I want to show you my love. Think about things that were on the table. I mean, how many of you guys want God to say, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. Right? I do. Come on, Jesus. Right? I want that. Mark gets that question, that Solomon question. I mean, what's on the table? There's world peace. There's like stopping world hunger. How do you pick? There's great revival. What do you ask for? Mark asked for a Harley. Now, let me explain to you exactly the whole story here. So as this person asks this question of Mark, Mark goes back to his hotel room and he just prays and he says, Lord, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know. Should I ask for more anointing? Should I ask for more wisdom? Should I ask to be a good servant, Lord? I don't know what to ask for. Because that's a hard thing to answer. Usually with a genie, you get three wishes. He gets one. Don't screw it up. And the Lord gives him a memory. He reminds Mark that of this time, there was a park right by their house that he would take his kids to when they were younger, and they'd play at the park, and often they'd go get ice cream after, and they'd go home. And he reminds Mark of one of these times. This memory comes up, and he asks God, he asks Mark, why did you get them ice cream? Ice cream's not good for them. Why didn't you take them home and boil them broccoli? It's good for them. And Mark says, because I love giving good gifts to my kids. I love giving them what they enjoy. And God says, me too. And in that moment, Mark knew the question that God was really putting before him. He was saying, I want to give you something. It doesn't have to be good for you, but something that you want, something that you enjoy. And Mark knew exactly what that was. It was the same thing he's wanted since he had to give his Harley away when they got married. He's like, all right, Lord, I want a Harley. How many of you guys would pick a Harley? My wife would kill me if I came home in a Harley. And so sure enough, he says, but Lord, you have to do this out of your surplus. It can't happen out of mine, because he was paid through his ministry. So sure enough, over the next, I should ask him how long, but months, I assume, money started coming in. Money that said, this is, God told me to give this to Mark DuPont, not to Mantle of Praise Ministry. And enough money came in that Mark got his Harley. I want to read you something. We think that God is this God that only wants to give us broccoli, only the things that are good for us, that God never wants to give us ice cream, the things that we enjoy. Psalms 37, 3 through 4 says this. It says, trust in the Lord. Do good. These are our commands. Dwell in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. These are the commands. Delight yourself in him. When you do these things, he says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Let me just tell you right now, God wants to do more. People also get, they get stuck in this thing that when things are good, they're not really supposed to ask God for more. You may be in here and you may be like, you know, honestly, things are good inside of my life. Everything is going well. I mean, I kind of feel closer to God than I ever have before. I shouldn't ask for more. No, you should ask for more. Ask for more of God's leading. Ask for more of God's speaking. Ask for more of God's blessing. Ask for more of God's reward. Ask that he would put you on that path. Listen, there's never a time, I don't believe there's ever a time where more is not on the table for Christians. God always has more that he can do in us, through us, and also give us. Now, I'm not saying that anything you ask from God, he's going to give you. That's not the case. In fact, James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. There's a lot of times and a lot of reasons why God wouldn't give us all the desires of our heart. But sometimes he has that ice cream waiting for us. So Heather and I, we heard him say this, and it really affected us, that God is this good father that wants to give good. Wow. That wants to get good. Oh, I did it again. Hold on a second. She sells down by the seashore. Okay. God really is a good father that wants to give good gifts to his kids. Am I having a stroke? Jeez. So Heather and I, we're about to buy a house. We're looking for a house. And we make these two lists. One list, it's all the things that we believe that God would give us in a house. We have it all listed down. This is our prayer list, and these are the things that we're asking God for, because we know that with more prayers, more power. But we had a separate list. And on our separate list, it said ice cream at the top. And it was all those things that we didn't need, but we were hoping that God would give us anyway. A fireplace. A big garage. I really wanted a big garage. Big open kitchen. I mean, we had these lists of things that probably couldn't afford, but we were going to believe and pray and expect God for this, and then we were going to ask him for ice cream if he so wants to give us. And can I just tell you that when we bought our house, every single thing on our ice cream list was filled. Yeah. Listen, we have to understand who it is that we look towards. Galatians 4, verses 6 through 7 says this, because you are sons, God has set forth his spirit of his sons into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. He wants to give good gifts to his kids. You are not a slave. You are not adopted. You are adopted. You are adopted fully as a son. You are an heir. Luke 11:3 says this, says, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Listen, if we know how to give good gifts to our kids, you have to understand that God is an even better Father that will do more and give more for us. So I encourage you, ask God for more in your family. Ask for God more in your marriage. Ask for God more inside of this church. Ask for more of his Holy Spirit. He loves to give it to people that ask. The last thing that I want to talk about is this. We find it in Acts 3:6. It's that there is more than silver and gold. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. Why didn't Peter and John have silver and gold? Because they had something way better, didn't they? They had something that had way more value. They had the Holy Spirit inside of them. If you go down to 1 Kings 10:21, this is the days of Solomon. I just want to make a point here. Remember the wealth that Solomon brought to the kingdom. 1 Kings 10:21 says, all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was silver. It was not considered valuable in the days of Solomon. There was such great wealth in the days of Solomon that silver was common and unvaluable. The things become of little value when things become of little value when there are things of much greater value available. Is that true? Things have become less value when greater things are there in their place. And just for an analogy, do you guys remember when Blockbuster was around? Right? And the stocks were huge. And then Netflix opened up and you're like, Blockbuster what? Stocks plummeted. Everybody lost money because something better came on the scene. This man was sitting there begging for something that would send him to the marketplace. But before him was something better that would send him to the temple. See, he was asking for something that would fill his stomach, but God wanted to give him something that would fill his soul and heal his body. And what John and Peter had was the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the exact same thing that you and I have. Do you know that if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? More powerful than silver or gold, if we will use it. I want to tell you a story. It's happened, I don't even know if it's been 2 weeks yet. Maybe a week and a half, actually. 2 weeks, I'm not sure. I was at a fundraiser dinner for Bill Wells. Bill Wells is running, our mayor is running for Congress. And so I was at this fundraiser for him. This was not a Foothills event. It was not a church event. And while I was there, I'm sorry, guys, this is bothering me so bad. As I was there, it was, we were going through the fundraiser dinner, and I saw this couple that I had seen at our church, I think at the Eric Metaxas meeting. And so I started talking with them. And as we were talking, they were telling me this story about these spiritual experiences that they had been having. You know, just like they're coming into contact with God. And then they say something interesting. They say, you know, it's just interesting that, Neil, every time we get close to you guys at Foothills, we just feel this peace. My spiritual antennas go up. I'm like, are you guys Christians? And they say, no. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They say, I don't know. I'm like, well, have you given your life to the Lord? And they're like, no, we haven't. So I start showing that all of these spiritual experiences that they were having, it was the Lord standing at the door of their heart, knocking, calling their name, Corey, Lauren. He was standing there, and I told him that God stands, he won't force himself in, but he is calling your name, that it's your time, and if you want to give your life to the Lord, you can. You know that peace that you said that you feel when you brush up against people from Foothills, that's peace born out of proximity. But God wants to put that peace inside of your life emanating from you. Do you want that peace? And before I could even ask that question, they both shouted out yes. This wasn't a church event. This was a fundraiser. A political fundraiser we were at. We were at the George's house inside of their yard. And I look around, and there's all these people, you know, talking like politics. And we go around the side of the house, and both of them give their life to the Lord that day. Yeah, praise God. They were here at first service. Because we have something better than silver and gold. We have the workings and the movings of the power of the Holy Spirit if you're willing to pray for more. Yeah. We can get so focused on things we don't have and miss what it is that we do have. For some of us, we just need to start praying, Lord, I want more of your Spirit working through me. But when I leave today and I go to work, send me to work. When I leave and I go to pick up the kids from school, send me to pick up the kids from school. When I go to wherever, Lord, I don't just want to go. I pray that you send me, use me more for your kingdom. Let's get the worship team to come up here. We're going to keep reading with this story. Acts 3, we haven't read this part yet, 11 through 12. I want to read this. And while he, the beggar, was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" And then he starts preaching the gospel to all of these people. Now remember, these are the same people that 40-something days ago, a month and a half earlier, crucified Jesus, stood and yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him." What a tough crowd. And he starts preaching the gospel all the way through Acts 3, and we're going to take it up Acts 4, verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them. and being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was all evening. But the damage was already done. The Holy Spirit, the God was already preached. The Holy Spirit was already out. Verse 4, but many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Because Peter and James didn't have silver and gold. Because they had something much better. They had something of much more value. Let's stand up right now. They had something more. They had the movings and workings of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's exactly what God wants to do with us. I really believe that God wants to break open whatever it is that I see in the Spirit up there and let the power of the Holy Spirit come rushing down and fill us. I believe whatever it is underneath the soil, that God wants to let it go forth. So we're gonna do something a little bit weird. If you want more, I want you to just put your hands up against all the walls up at those risers right now. We're to pray for a release, okay? You know, I haven't shared this with you guys because I don't think that I was released to share it until this message. So Father, Lord Jesus, we all stand. Lord, and whatever it is, Lord, that is holding that wave back, we say break it down. Release the waters of your Spirit over us. Let it come running down. We pray for your revival to move. We pray whatever it is, Lord, we declare whatever it is that you are calling Foothills into, we say yes and amen, and we want to be a part of it, but we know we cannot be a part of it unless we're walking in according to your Spirit, unless we have your power running through us. So we pray, break down the walls and let your presence come through this room. Release over us. Now, let's just put our hands to the ground. Father, Lord, we pray whatever it is, Lord, that is being held back, that is in that soil, that is pulsating, we pray, break it forth. Let the waters of the deep flow into us. Lord, we want more of your presence and power, and we want more of your restoration. So we just pray, Lord, break it through. Now put your hand on your heart right now. Lord, we pray. We know that it starts with us. So we pray right now, fill us as vessels. Let your presence come down over us right now, this Sunday, second service, standing where we are. We pray that you would come and minister to us, that the power of the King would rest over us, that you would blow your breath of life into our lungs right now, that we would leave here with more of your presence, that we would be sent forth from here to wherever it is that we have, that we're supposed to be after this, that we would be sent there, Jesus, with your power and presence inside of us. Here we are, Lord. We're just asking for more. I believe you want to do more. Move over this place right now.